This morning was wonderful, Lord. We just thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit and the lives that were touched this morning, and even what you're doing right now in our midst, Lord. We're just saying, whatever you want to do tonight, Holy Father, that's what we want to do. Whatever you're saying tonight, Father, that's what we want to speak. Wherever you're going, Lord, that's where we want to go. We want to go with you. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we may know the way, for you are that way, that we might see you, Lord, that we may hear your voice, that we may know what you're doing, that we might unite ourselves with you in your purposes, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. We're talking about growing upward and downward. Talking about having a visible life of service, outward works, you know, as we are diligently serving our master, you know, and things that are very practical often, in ways that are often above and beyond us. But even though we may be growing outwardly and visibly, the most important part is the invisible part of us, the part that you don't see. And we cannot endure very long outwardly if we're not growing deep inwardly. If we don't have a strong root base, amen, we're going to be top heavy. And it doesn't take much. How many have discovered that, right? When a tree is blown over, there are certain trees that don't have very deep roots. And in fact, I think it's even some of the first certain types of pine, when the wind gets a hold of that tree, you know, it pulls the whole root system, everything comes up. And then you have other trees that have a stronger root base, and yet they'll break off maybe like a poplar or something. The wind will just snap those babies off, you know, about halfway up. And then you just got a nub there left over. And I know, because when we lived in Graham, we almost ate a couple of them. But God, in his mercy, protected us from them. But it's so important that we are growing in the invisible part, in the secret place of the heart. It's more important than what we do visibly and outwardly. It's more important that we are in the secret place with God. This is where true growth and ministry takes place. It starts there, doesn't it? In the heart. And then it is reflected in the life. And so there are those who are zealous for God. They're joyful. They're like the seed that fell around among the stones. And they received the word with joy, and immediately it sprung up, and yet they had no root. And so it endured for a little while. But when tribulation, when pressure, when difficulty came, when even persecution because of the word, you know, opposition because of the word came, then because it didn't have the root system, it had a visible life, an outward expression life, yet it didn't have the roots that were going to hold, amen, that life in place. If we don't have an inner life, a secret life with God, then we're not going to stand long outwardly. You cannot stand outwardly unless you are what? Standing inwardly. And so Jesus was telling people that, listen, you've got to allow the word, the seed of God's word, amen, to go deep, to grow deep in your heart. You've got to have a relationship in your heart, in your spirit with God. You've got to work on your spirit, because that is the most important part of you. We know that we are tripartite beings, that we have body, soul, and spirit. And, you know, we're good at often, you know, making our outward members very presentable, taking a lot of time, you know, to make that part of us look good. And yet, if we're not taking care of the most important part, which is the secret part, the invisible part, then that's all going to be fluff. We're going to be shallow people that can only endure so much. You know, if we don't have strength in the Lord, then we're not going to endure very long. And if you faint in the day of adversity, in Proverbs 24:10, your strength is small. In the New Living Translation, it says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. And so God turns up the pressure in our lives to if you will, to test us and to reveal really to us that in and of ourselves, we don't have what it takes to stand very long. And so God will allow pressure, because pressure is actually good for us, because pressure should cause us to go deeper into God. How many have ever heard the saying that persecution is good for the church, right? And we don't like it, but, you know, it will cause a church to flourish. Why? Because they're going deep into God and they're receiving the nourishment of His Spirit so that they're strong in Him. Not in themselves, not in self-confidence, but confident in God because their roots are in Him. So this is what God is saying, is He wants His people to have deep roots in Him. We want to give spiritual help to people, don't we? How many here like to serve the Lord, right? And serve others. If we're born again, you're going to have that desire. He works in you, you know, both the will and to do. But we must seek God. We must be worshipers of God. And this has been our theme for some time now, that God is saying, you know, when Jesus told us in John 4:23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will what? Worship the Father in spirit and truth. God is a divine spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him where? In the secret place of the heart. It's not always an outward, visible expression that we may have here when we get together, but it has to be, first of all, with you and God alone. And if we will develop that relationship and build our spirit with the Lord in intimacy with Him, are you with me, that we'll have a personal life of worship, that God will then, when we come together, He will bless our gathering. Why? Because each one of us is bringing something to the gathering. I mentioned it this morning, but if we all come together with a mindset that I'm going there to get my dose of the ghost, if you will. I'm going there to get my, you know, like the Indy 500 going around the laps, stopping in for a pit stop on Sunday, and I'm doing the laps, and I'm stopping in on the weekend again, and I'm getting that dose. How many know that you run out of gas real fast? And if we all take on the mindset of I'm going to depend on the body, are you with me, to sustain me, to hold me up, amen, to hold the bottle to my mouth, to coddle me, to help me. Are you with me? If you just depend on brothers and sisters and you yourself are not going into God, seeking His face, seeking His heart, worshiping Him in the Spirit, then what happens is you have a corporate gathering of people that are all depleted spiritually, that have nothing to offer, and so you have a dead meeting. God wants to show up, but God wants to, first of all, work in you and I in the invisible realm of the heart. He wants us to be prepared, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. We should be prepared spiritually. We should be cultivating that relationship with Him. We should be strong in, as Paul said to Ephesians 6, right, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Willpower can get you nowhere. We need the strength of the Spirit. And if we are doing this and developing our spirit man personally and privately, then when we come together, we can offer something outwardly and visibly. How many have discovered that? You really can't give anything outwardly and visibly unless you've got something going on privately. And, you know, the Lord has to remind me of these same truths, because there are things that are the enemy sets in our lives to distract us, to get us busy, to get us doing stuff. As a matter of fact, you know what I'm talking about? You can run on empty because you're just doing a lot of outward visible stuff, but you're not taking the time, come on, in the secret place with God. And so if you don't have a good root system, you may not see even the much leaves or maybe no fruit at all right now in your life. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to come if you continue to drink from the living water. Are you with me? From Christ. And so sometimes in our lives we go through periods of dry spells. Of there doesn't seem to be anything happening. There doesn't seem to be any fruit. And the zeal and the fire I had doesn't seem to be there. Well, you keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Are you with me? Keep on drinking anyways. Keep on staying in the Word, abiding in the Word of God. And the time comes when that which you have sown will return to you. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season, in the season of God, because you have been faithful to abide in Him. So that Psalms 91 is so important, and that we stay in that place of abiding with Him. You know, God is looking for fruit, isn't He? He delights in fruit. But He's really working on the root. He's concerned about the root. Are you with me? And we're good sometimes about fruit, you know, and have an outward show of service, or, you know, good deeds that are done in the sight of men. Are you with me? But if we don't have that secret life in the Spirit, then we really don't have anything to offer except fluff. You see, some folks are so dry, and some churches are so depleted because they don't understand this, that they have to use hype, they have to use programs, they have to use all this stuff to try to get people. Because they don't have the real substance, they have to fake it. And that's so wrong. The fake it until you make it. I've heard Christians say that. Well, you fake it until you make it. Where did that come from? I'll tell you where that came from. Well, we toss stuff around so that we hear, right? Okay. Jeremiah 17:7, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. That's Jeremiah 17:7-8 in the New Living Translation. It says, these trees, the ones that are planted in Adonai, in the Lord, are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought, because their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. In other words, your outer life is not to control your inner life. You know, if we're just driven or motivated by what happens externally, when things are going our way, when things are favorable in our life, when the sun is shining and the birds are singing, we can all be, just like the world, we can all be happy and cheery because it's a beautiful sunny day today. Isn't it true that people don't even know God? They could be happy on a sunny day. But we are trees of righteousness. We are the planting of the Lord, and we have our root system in Christ. There's an anchor of the soul that goes beyond the veil into the holy place, and we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. God strengthens us. God sustains us. God keeps it together. If we will drink from Him, if we will continue to abide in Him, that means to continue in Him, then we will have what we have need of when the time comes. You don't pack your lunch on the journey. You get ready before you go. And every day we need to be preparing, amen, for the day. In other words, what happens outwardly will not be able to shake you inwardly. If you're standing on the inside, you'll be able to stand outwardly, but only by God's grace. And I got this picture. I've used the illustration of the soldier before, but you know, I was thinking about how in North Korea, you know, how they parade their military, you know, and their missiles and their soldiers, and you know, they're making this show. You know, it's a boast in their military might. And I don't know if there's any truth to this, but they say that those missiles that they had sitting on those launchers were actually dummies. They weren't even legitimate. It was just a outward show. They are what you call parade soldiers. And we have some guys in here that know what it's like to be combat soldiers. There's a difference between a parade soldier and a combat soldier. Would you say amen? Amen. And as followers of Jesus, we are in a war. We are soldiers in His army. Amen. And we can't just be looking good on the outside. We've got to have something going on in the inside. We've got to have a secret life with God. We've got to have a relationship with God. Amen. That will sustain us outwardly. And if we don't stand on the inside again, we will not be able to stand very long on the outside. And this is the message that God keeps bringing back to us, is pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to your spirit. Make sure that you take care of your inward life. If we would give the attention to our inward life like some people do to their outward life, we would be a lot healthier spiritually. We can put all the paint on and look so good and yet be emaciated on the inside. So we have to have a strong secret life, folks, to be able to endure the trials and the temptations of the outer life. And I've said this already, but I want to say it again, but a church body is only as strong as the members that make up that body. If all the members have an active secret life of the Lord, the entire body will be nourished, strengthened and built up in Him. And so Jesus in Matthew 6:4, He spoke of the importance of this secret life. He says, when you give your gifts, give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Matthew 6:5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? A stage player, an actor, putting on a good show, kind of like North Korea, you know? Who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. In other words, they only focused on the outward life and the visible life and what people saw. You see, God is more concerned about the secret heart, isn't He? Because the secret heart is where you really live. That's the real you. Any of us can put on a face, you know, and pretend we're this or we're that. It's called acting. It's hypocrisy. We can even act like Christians, but Christianity is not something you act like. You don't act like Jesus. You become Christ-like through abiding in Him. As we look into the face of Jesus, we're transformed from what? Glory to glory. So, but when you pray, He said in verse 6, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. You know, there are some people I believe that are going to be really great in heaven who you hardly ever hear or see visibly in the natural. But they are being faithful to God in the private place of intimacy with Him. They pray. They have a relationship with Christ. There are people that pray for even this ministry. There are elderly people that can't get out of their home. But what they can do is be, amen, a priest, as we're called to, all called to be. And as a royal priesthood, they can intercede on behalf of others. And they can take all of us before the throne of grace. Thank God somebody's praying for me too. I need your prayers. We need each other, don't we? But they do a lot of their things in private, and they don't come out here and wave a flag and tell you about all their experiences, about going to heaven, about this and about that. Even Paul was very cautious, you remember, about speaking of his experiences. I knew a man in the Lord, you know, he was talking about, that was caught up into the third heaven in Corinthians. So there's a private life that is very important. And folks, we need to understand something, that we are not to reveal everything outwardly that God tells us inwardly too. We need to run everything by the Father, say, Father, is it okay for me to share this? There's things that God tells me, even sometimes about people that I just can't talk about. And I can't share with anybody else, and I can't share even with that person. But he shows me those things so that I can pray for that person. Are you with me? And not turn it into a gossip thing. You know what God told me about so-and-so? Do you know, if that's the way we are, God won't entrust us with the greater riches. Amen? And with His secrets. Sometimes God reveals His secrets to us, but He wants to, first of all, find out if we can be trusted with His secrets. And often what He will tell us now is for a later date. It's not for right now. And some people have a hard time with that, even in a corporate setting, that as soon as they get something or hear something, they got to go and say it. Are you with me? And when they do, it can be dead as a doorknob, because it was not in order. It was not in the order of the Holy Spirit for that meeting. And it might have been a true word from God, but it was not the time for that word to be released. Are you with me? That makes sense? Because God does everything in His time, in His order. Now, Jesus is not saying here, folks, that we don't pray publicly. You understand that, right? There's a time to pray publicly. But He's saying that we need to pay more attention to the private life, to what we're doing in secret. We're not going to be able, again, to be a minister of His, a vessel of His, that He will be able to entrust the riches of His kingdom to, unless we are first, what? Walking with Him in secret, in private. How many husbands and wives that are here? There are certain things that you share between the two of you that you don't talk to anybody else about. It's nobody else's business. Are you with me? We're married to Christ, and there's things that He will share with us that's not for anybody else. Ooh. I know there's been times when especially when you've got to stand up in front of people and you've got to be saying something, you know. There's been times I've let go of something and I said, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Have you ever done that before? Of course we all have, right? Yeah. We're talking about really abiding in Him and worshiping in spirit. And it needs to be done, first of all, in the Holy of Holies. And this morning I mentioned once again that we are the temple, aren't we? As a matter of fact, this temple doesn't belong to you. This body doesn't belong to you in Christ. It all belongs to Him. The body, soul, and spirit belongs to Him. And so we are to take care of this temple the best of our ability. Because it houses what? The Lord. It's God's house. And even as the Old Testament temple had three chambers, it had an outer court, an inner court, and a most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is, where the very glory, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt between the cherubim. Remember? That speaks of the spirit, or the inner part, the inner heart. And so there it is. We also now have become the habitation of God in the spirit. Amen. He doesn't dwell in temples made by hands, right? God doesn't. We're going to God's house. You're God's house, right? This is a meeting house. This is a synagogue. This is where we come together as God's house. It's a natural house, amen, that houses God's house, who is you and I. So we come together. It's important, but it's not. It's so that we might worship Him, what? In spirit and in truth. And so those who believe on Me, as the Scripture says, out of their belly, out of their spirit, will flow rivers of living water. From a secret life, your roots go deep into Christ. They draw from the grace of God. You're built up internally, and then the Spirit of God will be released externally. And only what's done in the Spirit will last. Amen? Only what's done as a result of God's Spirit directing our spirit will bear fruit. We can do a lot of good stuff, a lot of good works, and we can do a lot of stuff in our soul. Come on. You can do just about all the Christian stuff in your soul. Christian acts of service. Programs. Naturally. But the only thing that will impact another heart or another life is that which was born out of God. Amen. That came from God through us, a vessel. And deep of me needs to cry out to the deep of God, spirit to spirit. And when we minister, we've got to be in connection with Him privately so that that private, amen, anointing is going to be released. And it's going to be something that will touch people beyond their intellect. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You can give an intellectual message that is so completely accurate and theologically straight, and yet if it's not of the Spirit, it's a dead letter. And so our prayer should be, God, I want to be your vessel. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to know you. I want to be a worshiper of you. I want a relationship with you, Lord. And out of that, don't seek the things of God. Seek Him. And the things will follow. Seek first the kingdom of God above everything else, and the things will follow, right? That you need. It's back to the Spirit. First things, the most important part of a man is his spirit. So pay attention to that. Work on that, build that, amen. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude 20, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Worshiping the Father in the secret place of the heart. And when you have a private life with Christ, you can have a public life, amen, that will manifest Him in such ways that people are transformed. I constantly pray this way because I know that I can be up here wasting my time and God's time if I'm not hearing His voice. If I'm not saying what He's saying, then I'm just saying good stuff, but it's not the right stuff. We can do good things, as you know, but not the right things. We can be busy with all kinds of Christian activity, but not be doing the will of God. We can even cast out demons in His name. You know what I'm talking about? Do many wonderful works, even miracles, and yet not be in the will of God. He who does the will of my Father abides forever. You and I in Christ, you know, we're joined to Him. We're married to Him. And so He is a jealous God, and He doesn't want us to give ourselves away to other gods. Are you with me? He paid a very high price for our soul. He bought us with His own blood. He's jealous over us with a godly jealousy, because He doesn't want to lose us to adultery. Are you with me? He doesn't want us prostituting ourselves with the world and the things of this world, because He loves His bride. And He's anticipating the day when He's going to be united with His bride. And right now, we're in the process of being made beautiful by the grace of God as He lavishes His grace on us. Amen? Pours His Spirit into us. And as we're focusing on making sure that we're beautiful on the inside. Amen? Even as Paul was speaking to the ladies, he's saying, he's not saying you can't wear makeup. He's saying, don't let it be all about the outward show. Amen? Let it be of the secret heart. Amen? The grace of heart that comes forth, the beauty of the inner beauty of Christ that comes through your life, that will so outshine anything else. It doesn't matter. How many know I'm talking about? There's a beauty to one who walks in the Spirit. There's an attractiveness. It's Christ. And that's the fruit. That's what people want. They want what we have, folks. And we're not going to have anything to offer unless we have roots deep into His heart. Lord, we want to be beautiful. We want to make you known. We want people to see you, to experience you through our lives, Lord. It's that song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Reign in me, Sovereign Lord. Reign in me. Captivate my heart. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled what? With the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord where? In your hearts. Secret worship. Are you with me? It's not all. He's talking about an outward, and then he's talking about an inward. Yes, we do it outwardly, but we also do it inwardly. And you can't have a good outer life, a strong outer life, a fruitful outer life, unless you have a fruitful inner life. Unless you have the roots that are deep into his heart. For those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And that word dwells, I want to just share this again with you. It means to sit down, to remain or settle. It means to sit down, what? Settle in his presence. How many felt tonight that, you know, the Lord is once again, he's just tugging on your heart and saying, go deeper, go deeper. Don't let it be all visible. Don't let it be out. Who cares? What matters is if I have a good inward life with Christ, then you don't have to work up fruit. Fruit will be the result of an inward life, a secret life. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just faking it. All right? You're being a hypocrite. You know, there's people that walk around and some of these cults that are out and about knocking on doors, and, you know, it's a big facade. Come on. They don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as a matter of fact, the human spirit, you know, can sometimes exhibit characteristics that can be mistaken for the Holy Spirit, because we can be pretty good actors and actresses. We can be loving and friendly and kind and considerate and good to our neighbor and charitable and even sacrificial. But if we don't have love, we don't have the substance. It's all in vain. All for nothing. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the rock I place my trust. And I believe in who he is. He is my foundation. He is my rock. He is the one that I can run into, and I find security. I find safety. I find refuge in his heart. Ooh, hallelujah. He's so good that we just want more. More of him.